Live from the Mattel Hot Wheels factory in El Segundo, California, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and all-too-dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, retired attorney and statesman, renowned truck driver, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, father, son, and holy brother, Richard J. Ringhausen. And daredevil, deadeye marksman, sculptor, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who only wishes he could play the banjo, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Hey!
I'm Mr. Heat Miser. I'm Mr. Sun.
You know, it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
That they concoct some children's Christmas special where you actually remember the songs from. Was that the Santa Claus story or something? Mickey Rooney was Santa Claus or something.
I think so, but that was the only good part of that was the Heat Miser
and the Snow Miser.
And the Snow Miser, yeah.
And they had that jamming little song.
And they had, you know, a catchy little tune. I'm Mr. Heat Miser.
Had you cracked the code that's what that was until the very end?
I haven't heard it in a gazillion years, but I remember it just like I remember the Rolo commercial.
Shit. Well, I mean, excuse me, the Rolo commercial.
Settle down, Rick. Well, you come in with a package of Rolos. I haven't had Rolos in a gazillion years.
And you start singing some little Rolo song.
They used to have a commercial where the people would come out dressed up as Rolo candies, bumping into each other. And
singing a little song, apparently. Yeah.
There are lots of truly Rolos in a roll for you. If you're choosy about what you chew, real milk, chocolate, and caramel, too. To chew, 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 chew.
Wow.
That was the Rolo song. I loved it. Hey, you want to break into show business? Put on this Rolo suit.
I've took
drugs,
theater in college, and I've moved to Hollywood and told all my relatives and friends that I'm going to make it in show business.
Mm-hmm.
And
you didn't.
And here you show up in a Rolo thing on a commercial.
Yeah. That's how some people get their start. So, you know, one of the Rolo people was Tom Hanks.
He was not.
Look it up.
I will look that up, buddy. Okay. Don't ahead, try to tell
up.
Me that.
Go ahead, look it up.
But I was watching some commercial that you just made me think of this. And it was for like, I don't know, stomach antacids or something. And some unknown actress was wearing like a purple skin tight outfit, and her role was being like stomach acid or something, and had like a thing on her chest said stomach acid, you know, that's following the guy around. You know, hey, mom, dad, got a job in Hollywood, be on TV.
Yeah, there are quite a few people that started off in commercials and made it into the big time.
Now, that is true. I agree.
The Dr. Pepper commercial guy. I'm a pepper. You're a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper, too?
Well, I know that commercial, but I don't know the guy that's in it.
He went on to be the Werewolf of London.
That guy?
Yeah.
What's his name?
That guy? Well, you know, that guy.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
You know,
what about
Burger King? You know, Burger King had like several actresses that hit it.
Ate the hamburger?
No, that were like the Burger King girls.
Oh, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special order donut.
Elizabeth Shue was one of the.
Oh yes, is that you? Let us serve it your way. That song.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't
and
know.
Who was the chick that was the mother in Back to the Future? You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson was also, I think, a Burger King girl.
No kidding. Who was the girl that put the shaving cream on?
On Joe Namath.
Yeah, wasn't it Farrah Fawcett?
I think it was Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett, yeah.
She slathered on shaving cream on
him. He was happy. He's probably drunk.
Joe Namath had, what, one good season and then his legs went bad?
No, he had multiple good seasons.
I don't think so.
But he's, you know, pretty famous.
Yeah. First year that
I think he made the claim that he was going to go all the way, and he did.
He did, yeah. He was the first one that took an American Football League
as a rookie
team to the Super Bowl and won it. Because yeah. Otherwise, the Packers had won like every year. But so Joe Namath delivered. He became famous. Broadway Joe.
Made famous. He actually did a few movies. C.C. Ryder.
And he was on Broadway. He played Little Abner.
Did he?
They said Dad actually saw him, and it was like a touring group.
Yeah, okay.
He said that Joe Namath's knees were so bad he couldn't even run across the stage during some scene where Little Abner had to run across the stage. Yeah, stand-in that came in and did that for him. The second stringer.
That's kind of sad.
Second string Little Abner.
Look what commercials did for the young lady who was in the Downy Snow fabric softener commercials.
Are you talking about Marilyn Chambers?
Yes.
Oh. The one that became like a professional porn star?
She became super famous. I mean, look at how many movies she made.
I can truthfully say I've not seen any of her movies.
Messing with your head. I don't know who else famous commercials. That's not even what we're here for. That's not even what we're here to talk about.
What were we here to talk about?
We were talking about going on vacation on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. To Acadia.
A place we've both been.
I recently went to Acadia.
I recently went there. Well, not recently. Within the last 12 months.
Okay, that's pretty recent.
To where I can remember some of it. Okay, you know, it's beautiful and everything, but after you've hiked in it for a couple of hours, you've pretty much seen it.
Yeah.
You know, it starts repeating itself. Oh, here's another rocky cove. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, but Godfather 2's on TV tonight, and I'd kind of like to get back to that. And watch that.
Okay, so, you know, you go to a national park like this.
Do you know where that came from?
What?
The Acadia National Park.
No.
I mean, other than being created by God.
Okay.
Nelson Rockefeller donated it to the United States government for use as a national park.
I think that is accurate.
I mean, good for him.
When we went there, we took the camper, camped, you know, so we're driving into the park, and there's like a big trail that goes up the mountain. Tallest mountain on the
thing. Yeah, we drove up it.
But you can drive up it.
Why would you walk it?
I ponied up the $5 and drove up to the top and then walked the little loop trail around the top.
Wait a minute. Do you have the National Park stamp? The senior citizen thing?
I've got the senior citizen card. Yeah, I get in for free. I pop that out.
I got one.
Isn't that sad? Don't you feel bad that you pull that out, that you're carrying around your golden senior passport to the national
park? As long as there's nobody else around.
That you're so old now that you've got one of them.
And you know, you show it to the, you know, the 18-year-old kid working the gate, you know, some girl. Well, enjoy yourself. Have a good time, Mr. Ringhausen.
Oh, man.
Shut up.
Be careful while you're up there. Watch your step.
Don't break a hip.
One time.
You got out and punched somebody?
No. One time, my wife and I are in the... I'm going to diverge here a little. We're at the Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado. And we're hiking it because we're younger back then, right? And this is the days.
I'm assuming you drove to the top and hiked down?
No. No, we went on like a 5-mile loop hike. And
we got disoriented?
As we're hiking around... You know, we're still young at this point. But as we're hiking around, here's an older couple that are probably younger than I am now that have hiked out, and the old man has had some accident. I don't know if his heart went out or he broke his leg or whatever. But they're, you know, it's no cell phones back then, no GPS stuff or nothing. And, you know, the woman can't carry the old man, and, you know, he can't move, you know, and they're like desperate for help. Now, as it turned out, you know, we stopped to see if there's anything we could do. and there wasn't.
So yeah, did you give him mouth to mouth?
No, we went on and left him alone. But because they said they'd already had someone that went ahead and was getting help for him, right? Mm-hmm. So we go on, because there was someone else. There's like a nurse that showed up behind us that was going to stay with him. So there wasn't reason for everyone in the park to stay with him.
Then you fell.
No. But we're hiking on this trail, rocky trail through Rocky Mountains, and it's not one of these trails that's, like paved or nothing. It's just a trail through the wilderness. Here come two park rangers jogging up the mountain to save this old guy, right? And they're pushing a stretcher that has, it's balanced on one wheel and a spring. That's how they're going to bring this guy down off the mountain.
Okay, now I'm laying there injured, and they wheel this up beside me.
Yeah.
I'm not getting on that. You're going to push me over the edge.
But, imagine you've injured your back. They're going to strap you to a stretcher that it looks like something Dr. Seuss designed, just a single pole underneath of it that it balances on, that they're holding each end of it, right? And it's got like a pivot wheel that it bounces on that can handle any terrain, apparently. They're going to push you down the mountain on that. Can you imagine that ride?
I don't want to.
And your poor wife, she's old too. She's, can I ride in the ambulance with him? The guy's pushing it. Don't think so. But it was just impressive, We're going downhill.
So do you wait to see it come by?
Huh? No, they passed us.
Okay.
Oh, they passed us. Just jogging along. Just doom, 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 doom. I guess the old man, the whole way. Like, well, guess he got rescued. No, you're welcome. I'm going. They had no business walking this trail in that shape in the first place. Of course, we do it now all the time.
Right, and you have no business.
Nah, probably not.
Going much of anywhere, really.
So while we're at... What was that?
Your phone.
Is it doing that again?
Yeah.
No. So while we're in Acadia...
Yeah?
Decide we're going to take a boat ride. Right. Like a coast... Boat ride along the coast.
Right.
So we take a boat ride along the coast, and part of it...
Did you go out in a motorized, like that double-deck thing that'll hold like 50 people, or did you go out in like that clipper ship?
This was a smaller one. It was not double-decked, but it held like 30 people.
Yeah, okay.
And it goes along the coast of
Acadia. Did you leave from Bahaba?
We did not leave from Bahaba. We went from North Harbor.
North Harbor, okay.
And it sailed around. And one of the things that it does is it's going to stop at a lobstering village.
Yeah, okay.
Where they
Have those bobbing things out in the water and everybody's got...
There's a million
a different
bobbing things, yeah.
Colored bobby thing to identify which one's theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, this place where after they pull the lobsters up, they take them into a big bad smelling building and sort them. And then ship them out to all the little restaurants that sell lobster.
Did that cure you from ever wanting to eat lobster again for the rest of your life?
No.
Okay.
But they pull up at this dock, right? Mm-hmm. And at this time, there are no one in the building doing anything related to lobster.
Okay, what are they doing?
Imagine if your boat pulled up to Fidelity, Illinois, and dropped you off for an hour.
Oh, it's just like a little town on an island.
With nothing in it.
With nothing there. Okay.
The only thing there was a single room building like we used to go to grade school in.
Yeah.
That was manned by the National Park Service that had some 18-year-old girl whose job was to sit in there and curate that thing. And the only people that came into that building on any given day were the people that boat would drop off there. And you'd go in, and it was a museum of the history of that town.
Welcome to Squid Island. You'll notice on this wall, we have the red squid.
They had
the blue squid.
They had one.
And to the right, you will see the yellow squid.
They had one room that was
dead. That encompasses the entire squid population of Squid Island.
They had one room dedicated to, like, Captain Pappy Johnson, you know, and just a whole bunch of pictures of this one particular boat captain, who the only thing I can figure is he was the father of half the population on the island, maybe.
Like that Joseph Smith on Pitcairn's Island.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So, you know, after 5 minutes of being on the island,
you were ready to commit suicide.
It's like, we're here for another 45 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Before the boat leaves, and you're not allowed to get back on the boat.
Could you walk the perimeter of the island in that amount of time?
If you wanted to. Okay. It was like 100 degrees that day.
Oh, okay.
And there was like an ice cream shack there.
Where you're laying out rocks in SOS on the beach.
So we go to the ice cream. There was like a little ice cream store there. And you get up there and there's a sign, ice cream machine broken.
No, sorry, out of ice cream.
Well, like, what do you have?
So you walk in, do you have chocolate ice cream? Let's see. No. What about vanilla? Fresh out.
It's the single most popular ice cream in the world.
What about Rocky Road? Well, it seems that... Oh, well, the cat's got it.
So we finally get back on the boat, and it takes you back the exact same way that you came
Could
out.
We have some strawberry ice cream? Well, yes, but it's a little bit soft.
I like it soft. Bring it on.
It's much more soft than you'd like it.
Can't be soft enough for me.
Oh, it's melted. Sorry. We have no ice cream.
That was my boat trip to Acadia.
So. How many people were stranded there? For a 3-hour tour.
And, you know... Now, I don't know about you, when you go on vacation, right? You and your wife go on vacation someplace. And say, you're going to Acadia. Now, there's a whole bunch of other things.
We were only able to survive by drinking.
Now, when you go to Acadia or whatever park you're going to, you and Sarah have decided, okay, we're going to Acadia. Now, at what point?
Whoa, back up. Let's make this realistic. Sarah decided that we're going to Acadia.
Okay, so at what point in the planning procedure do you, like, get a book on Acadia and look up things to do and start, like, booking tickets on these things?
I didn't do any of that.
Okay, well, I didn't either. So Sue has booked the boat ride.
Yeah.
That has taken us to Fidelity and dropped us off for 45 minutes. Now, let's say that it's Sarah has done this for you and has taken the time to actually find a thing and book it.
Or you're saying, at what point do you start to belittle your spouse for doing something like this? What were you thinking? Did you read anything at all? What's wrong with you?
How long are we going to be here? When do we? You have enough sense not to do that, right?
Oh, my God. I've never done that in my life. Now, there's one thing, thinking it. The other thing's doing it. And then the third thing is saying it during a podcast that we know our wives don't listen to.
Yeah, that.
Is that what you're getting at?
So we got a cruise to Alaska we're going to take.
Yeah.
And Sue has been... Okay, so we're going to Alaska.
Do you set foot on Alaska soil, or do you stay on a boat the whole damn time?
Well, I have every intention to stay in the boat, but no, you have little tours there where they drop you off in Fidelity, Alaska. For 45 minutes.
Okay, folks, you're going to be going to Bear Island. We'll release you from the boat. You have 45 minutes. Good luck.
Now, when you say Bear Island, you mean that there are bears there or that you go bear?
Your choice.
But if you go bear, don't come back.
Okay, so you're going to cruise up and down the Alaskan shore. What is there to see?
Skagway.
Okay, well, I guess, like,
Skagway.
As you're cruising the Alaskan shore, it's going to start looking the same after, you know, a few miles, isn't it? Isn't it?
Well, you get the drink package.
You don't drink!
But Sudan does.
His start looking different, yeah. What's that blurry spot over there, Rick? Clean your glasses, dear.
I don't know. I've never been to Alaska. I'm assuming that every place you go by looks slightly different.
Well, the only reason I would go to Alaska is to hunt something. You know, you go up there and hunt a moose or hunt a bear or hunt a mountain goat or whatever they have up there.
They have all those things.
Wolverine. They have a wolverine
too. That's Michigan.
Oh, okay.
They have eagles, though.
Well, you can't shoot an eagle. Well,
maybe you can't.
Hell, we got eagles here. We got bears here.
Not
much. The only moose here is Clunk.
Not much in Illinois. You don't have much bear in Illinois.
Yeah, I think they just reported one last week.
Yeah, they come across the river now from Missouri every so often.
Yeah, they do.
So going back.
We got to put an end to that.
When's the last time that you actually planned anything that you did in terms of recreation?
I don't know they ever have.
You just show up and go as you're told?
Yeah.
You don't put any planning into your trips at all?
No. Well, okay, Rick. I've attempted that.
Yeah.
Oh, we should go there. Or no, we're not doing that. Well, what about, you know, I think it'd be cool to see this. No, we're not. That's kind of out of the way. You know, it's like the story of the spider web. Yeah, I was out one time, and there I came across
spider web.
Just a beautiful, just perfect, a symmetric spider web. And I'm looking at it, and then finally I run my finger through it, knocked down, you know. And I come back the next day, and it's respun.
But it's not as good the second
time. I noticed it's slightly different. It's not as...
What possessed you to wreck it in the first place?
It's not as symmetric anymore. So then I just knock it down again. I come back the next day, it's even worse. And I do another day until it's like the spider doesn't care anymore. Why should I even try to make a good spider's web if you're just going to tear it up every day? Day after day after day, you crush my dreams.
You know what?
All I'm doing is telling a story about a spider.
You know that's true, what you just said about spider webs?
It is.
I mean, that's a fact of nature.
That's a fact.
That a spider, every time you wreck its web, the next time it respawns it will not spin it as wonderfully as the first time it spins this web.
Right. And then, finally, you show up one day.
And it just attacks you.
No, the spider's on itself.
You ever been bit by a spider?
Have I ever been bit by a spider? Yeah.
Did it make like the big welt?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay, here's the deal. I'm out in the workshop, out in the shed, and I've got some brown jerseys laying on the workbench, and I'm getting
those
ready
are brown with cluses.
A brown jersey is a type.
Oh,
of
the work glove, yeah,
work
okay.
glove,
work,
okay.
the glove of choice of farmers worldwide.
And I'm going to go pick up something that's kind of oily, and I wanted a pair of gloves. I look at my selection there on the counter
to try to find two that were one of each hand.
Yeah, always that. And I'm looking at them. I'm like, it looks like there's something built a spider's web there. So I kind of shake them up a little bit and then put one on, and I feel something, you know, like bit me, and I pulled out, and the spider was in there. It was inside the glove.
So did you go to the doctor?
Nah, I didn't rot my hand off or anything like that, but I was a little worried for a while.
You know, a spider bite.
I think it was like a wolf spider.
You get
like
a big welt that'll be like a big open sore, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It wasn't that kind. I think that's a brown recluse that you're talking about. But this, the other day, I'm out in the shed again, right? Yeah. And I pick up one of these 5-gallon fuel tanks, a fuel jug.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put gas in a tractor, right? So you, the trick is, it's never easy. You climb up on the tractor, you know, grabbing the steering wheel with one hand, and then stepping up, holding the 5-gallon jug in the other hand until you pull it up and get it set up on top of the tractor. And then it's got this spout that you aim for the gas tank and you tip it up. But once you get it up, you got to hold it there until you get the whole 5 gallons in. And as I'm doing this, I'm watching this spider. I don't know where it came from, but it crawls up the side of the gas jug. It's kind of slow. And I'm watching it and I'm thinking, well, surely I'm going to empty this entire thing out before it gets all the way up to the handle where I'm holding it. But it goes a little faster than I thought, and it gets up there in the handle. And I thought, well, he's not going to go over to my hand. It goes over to my hand, and I said, well, this isn't the kind of spider that bites people. It's kind of like this greenish-yellowish spider. It bit me. Bit me right in the back of the hand.
I thought you were going to say, you've seen the movie Mission Impossible, first Mission Impossible movie, where Tom Hanks is like hanging from a thread down in the vault of Langley.
Which Mission Impossible was Tom Hanks in?
No, not Tom Hanks. Tom Cruise.
Thank you.
Tom Cruise.
I just wanted to embarrass you.
That's okay. I'll cut all that out, and it'll say Tom Cruise right from the start. Tom Cruise is hanging from a string, and the French guy's up in the up top holding him with a rope, and there's like a rat that's coming up.
Coming down going the side there.
And he like lets go of the rope and stabs the rat and is able to grab the rope. That's what I thought you were going to say about your gas can, that you let go of it long enough to slot the spider and then grab the tank before it even fell.
I just toughed it out and took the bite.
You're a fool. I wouldn't have done that.
Okay, you've told me that I'm a fool, I'm an idiot, and to shut up.
Oh, yeah, so? You've heard all that before.
Who are you? My wife?
No.
Have you been bit by a spider?
Oh, yeah. Big welt.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Still?
And,
right now?
And you'll see, like, the two holes where they bite you. Good spider or give you two fang bites on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you about gloves when you talked about the gloves. Have you ever, in picking out when you go through the pile of gloves, found that they're all like left-handed gloves and have to turn one inside out and wear a left-handed glove on your right hand?
Yeah, or you go ahead and you know, not turn it, and then you got that kind of backward thing where your thumbs push back. But yeah, you can function with it.
But you don't like it.
But it ain't right. It ain't right.
Yeah, it's like wearing your pants backwards.
You do that? You wear your pants backwards?
No, but I was just thinking of, what was that movie, Waiting for Guffman, where he's wearing his pants backwards.
And dancing?
Yeah.
He's kind of doing a Michael Jackson dance or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, something bizarre like that. But it just seemed wrong to me. I was thinking.
It did seem wrong. It's not right.
You know, if I'm wearing my pants backwards, that's going to feel wrong.
You know what? I'm going to go home and wear my pants backwards.
Let's see what your wife has to say about that.
What are you doing? Wait.
I'm guessing she's got the papers drawn up to put you away and is just waiting for the right excuse.
You think so?
Yeah, I wouldn't trust that. I wouldn't try that pants to move out on her.
I think I could outwit her in court.
Wow. I think she just beat you to death with a broom.
What was your intro song on this? It was Lots of Truly Rollers? No.
Heat Miser.
Oh, yeah.
Heat Miser, Heat Miser.
Mr. Heat. Why did you play that? Why did you choose that just to do a show about Arcadia? I keep wanting to say Arcadia.
Because I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
You want to know what the biggest problem with Arcadia is? There are no bumper cars. There's no go-karts, mini bikes, game arcades, nothing like that. We used to go to the Ozarks and they had all that cool stuff.
Well, let me tell you something.
They ain't got nothing up there except lobster shacks.
Did you go to a lobster shack?
Yeah, we did.
Did you eat a lobster?
I put on a bib and had the whole thing.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Did you eat the guts?
God, no. What do you think? I'm from Maine? Oh, you ever see those people that like suck the brains out of a lobster and just
the whole thing? take the antennas and the legs and just take them like they're straw.
Actually, the lobster came with instructions on how to eat the various parts of it.
Yeah, there's parts of it you don't eat. To me, if there's part you're not supposed to eat,
then why did they put it on your plate?
They should remove that for you before it even comes out. You don't want to eat this green
now. If something thing oozes full of out. Bile, that's not gravy.
Don't eat that.
Don't do it. Don't go there. You got to be careful around those people. And let me tell you something. That whole lobster, that what do they call it? They call it a lobster some pod or I don't know. They got a different name.
Lobster pods.
Lobster pod for you know the meal.
Yeah.
And it does not taste like the lobster, you get it like red lobster. You know, it's like slathered in butter and all that stuff. It's got more of an ocean taste to it.
See, I like my lobster slathered in butter.
I do too.
Bring me a big tub of butter when you bring that lobster. Oh, you'll ruin it if you do that.
No.
Do you have some of those crab seafood things that are wrapped in plastic that I could also dip in butter? Because I like that too.
Speaking of drenched in butter. So I go to Uncle Dan's, and he has these giant onions that our friend Tim Davis grew. These giant onions. And he entered them into the county fair and won first prize with his onions. So now
Dennis had entered Tim Davis's onions?
Tim Davis entered his own onions in the county fair and won. But he had a bunch of them, so he brought them to Dennis to sell them at the market there. But what they told me is you can take this giant onion and you core out the center and you pack it full of butter, put it in the microwave for 7 minutes and cook it. And when it comes out, the onion is soft and buttery and delicious. Yeah, and we ate the whole damn thing.
You tried it?
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful.
So you just take a regular onion, a big onion.
Big onion.
And you core it.
Core it.
Where you make like a little reservoir to put your butter.
Yeah.
Pack it in and then
pack it in there.
Microwave. Do you wrap it in plastic?
No. You just set it on a paper plate.
And for 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
And it is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
Huh. Well, I'll try that.
Bon appetit.
Okay, I do have something else to ask you that you reminded me of that I forgot to ask earlier. When you're pouring gasoline, right, what are you pouring it out of?
It's a plastic
like
jug.
One of them red ones?
Yeah, it's got a flexible hose.
Have you
end.
Bought one of those recently?
To where it's got that spout that's spring-loaded and you have to push the thing to release the fuel?
Yes.
Yeah. Gotta get rid of that.
Is it? Is that like the worst invention that humans have ever come up with?
Yeah.
Who came up with that?
Then you're trying to aim, trying to get that thing on the lip of whatever you're pouring it into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Dennis, I talked to Dennis about that.
Yeah.
He says, well, the first thing you do.
Take that off.
You take that off, you go to the store and you just get the replacement thing for it. I say, A-OK. So Sue insists now that whenever we drive across country that I have a gallon of gas in the back of the truck.
Safety, yeah.
Well, other than that, you just fill it up 1 gallon sooner than you would have. But in any event, we carry this thing with us. And at some point, she says,
well, I think she's assuming that you're going to just run out of gas.
Yeah, but I'm not. But in any event, the gas, you know, it's getting old. So we say, well, let's use the gas up, right? So I take the mechanical spout off of it.
Mix it with whiskey.
No. And I'm going
and
to
pour it on
I buy the replacement spout that Dennis talked about. Yeah. And I lift it up. I'm going to pour it in. Well, the new
nozzle does not fit the old.
No, it fit, but the new ones don't have that little plug on the backside that you open up to allow it to draw air. Apparently, that mechanical thing that you have
is also an air release.
Is also an air release, so that if you replace it with the new one and start to pour, nothing comes out because it can't get air to it.
I'll be darned.
So the gas is still sitting in my garage now.
Huh.
And I was cranky. I was in a bad mood. I did not do well with that gasoline.
Well,
I was going to slosh it around the truck and set it on fire, but I didn't.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that. Or you could be like one of those Hindu monks and just sit down in the lotus position and pour it over your head.
They did that in Vietnam, you know, for real.
Man.
You're dedicated to your cause when you do that.
You're making a statement, aren't you? And then just sit there and burn.
Yeah.
What keeps them from getting up and running and jumping in the Mekong Delta?
They're screaming around like crazy. I don't know. They just took it, though. That was pretty impressive. Yeah. I don't think I could do that. I think if you slathered me with gasoline and set me on fire, that I'd scream like a baby.
I agree with that.
Well, don't do that.
Okay. Rick, we are now officially over.
Okay.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the alligator Alcatraz.
Oh. I guess we have our topic for the next show.
There
don't
you
we?
Go. Yeah, alligator Alcatraz.
I
we
just love
cover a couple of topics in one show.
Don't you love the title of that?
Alligator Alcatraz.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, see you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Golf Drops. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Uncle Den's delicious microwaved onions. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with those bits of legal business well in hand, see you later from Rick Gator, Alligator, and the rest. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. Aren't any.